first, I thank you for the great introduction, and I take a lot of pride in being the executive director of the Martial Arts Industry Association, but not near as much pride as being a school owner and manager. And the reason I asked Ms. Marler to tell everybody that I own and operate 10 schools in Orlando, Florida, is because I think it's important for you to understand that as I give this lecture today and give some tips, I'm not just giving it on theory or input from outside people. I'm in the grinds of the business as much as anybody else is. I have schools that have been open, my very first school, for 15 years, gosh, maybe longer than that now, with 300-plus students, to schools that I just opened less than 4 months ago with struggling to hit 100 students, and then some schools that are in between, and my biggest school with probably 350. With that comes a very big staff of instructors, both full-time and part-time. So when we come to the question and answers, ask anything you can, if I don't have the answer, I won't lie about it. I'll tell you the best of my knowledge or get back with you. But again, I wanted to point that out so everybody understands I come from a place of not just knowledge but of experience in doing what we all do every single day, whether it's trying to market for new students or trying to calm the team member, and when I say team, I mean staff member, paid staff member, how not to quit, as well as that student who's just not happy with the changes that go in the school. But with that, the topic is the 10 things you should be doing now. And this was a great topic because, for me, it reminds me of the things that I need to be doing now. As a matter of fact, some of these things I need to do the second we get off the phone. As I go through this, I want to point out that when I attend seminars, one of the things I like least is when people talk in theory, meaning I think you should offer good customer service, but then they don't really give you points on how to offer customer service. Or if I was to tell you, you have to work on getting new students, but I don't really tell you how to get new students. We all know it's important to get new students. Give me some meat. Give me some nuts and bolts. So other than one or two of these, I'm not going to talk in theory. I'm going to try and give you some direct ideas on things you can do or at least something that will generate some thought so you can execute some points that I'm going to go over. The very first one will be in theory because it sets the stage for what I believe is the most important thing you do in your school all the time. So the first thing that you need to be doing right now is focusing on new students. The most important thing that we do in our schools every single day is recruit, sign up, and get new students into the door and eventually sign them up. New student is the basis for everything that happens in our school. A lot of people would say, well, retention is the most important thing, but if you don't have new students to retain, then retention's irrelevant. People will say retail is important, but ultimately you have the new student to sell to. So whatever you do in your school, everything is very important. But the most important thing, what we start the day with and what we end the day with, is focusing on getting new students. And when I say I'm going to talk in theory, there's four things that I think you should do to focus on getting new students. One, you need to create a plan. And we all know, or we've heard before, that when we write the plan down, we're more likely to succeed. So if I can encourage everybody to create a plan on how and how many new students you plan to get over a specific period of time, and I'm going to suggest that period of time is the summer. Okay, after that, we need to work on implementing the plan. Now, we all know not all plans work, but a lot of times people just put plans on paper and it sounds like a good idea, but they never look at their goal sheet or the piece of paper again. So implementation and execution of the plan is critical. Number three is tweak the plan. Very rarely do plans go exactly as we had hoped, so it takes tweaking. Maybe we had planned to do a big referral event and we just didn't get referrals that event. That doesn't mean to shut down and go in the closet and hide. That means just come up with something else to replace that specific event, and then re-implement the plan. A lot of people that are very good at goal setting do, in fact, implement their original plans, but then they get very discouraged if it doesn't work. So speaking in the general terms, number one, the most important thing you should be doing now is focusing on new students. We should do that by, one, creating a plan, two, implementing the plan, then tweaking the plan, and finally re-implementing the tweaked plan. going on from there, the second thing you should do, and here's where we get to some nuts and bolts, is focus on family members. You would be shocked at how many family members are waiting for an invite to come into the class. You'd be shocked at how many people you've already invited that have said no a dozen times, that their own personal circumstances have changed, and now they may be ready to come in. I don't mean their circumstances have changed just monetarily where they couldn't afford it before, but you don't know what happens. Let's say you ask the mother of one of the children if she would like to sign up for martial arts, and she had no interest at all. But 3 weeks ago, maybe somebody was mugged outside her office. Well, now all of a sudden she may have an interest in your studio that she didn't have as little as 3 weeks ago. So I say focus on family members because they are the least expensive and the easiest members to actually recruit into your school. They're already there. You don't have to pass out a flyer or run an ad to get them. So I suggest doing four things. Consider having brother-sister classes or having a special event just for brother-sisters. Consider having, well, Father's Day workout, potentially you could get off the ground quickly this month, but have a parent's workout a couple times during June and July. Have a focus seminar, and when I say focus seminar, I mean a focus seminar with parents where it's a focus target and the parents learn how to coach and work with their children. It's like a coach's day is probably a better word for it, but it gets the parents on the floor and then goes into a special invitation for them. And then number four, have a special summer offer for your own family members. And this is a hypothetical, but if you with one full paying member, the rest of the family trains for $199 or $99 or any 1 month $49. And, of course, that is at a discount, but keep in mind you spent no money to get this family member in, and they are more likely to sign up at the end of summer than somebody who came in off the street just for summer classes. So number two is focus on family members. The third thing I think we should be doing right now is focusing on referrals. Hey, why referrals? Because that is the best type of advertising, and also it is the least expensive type of advertising, because typically if you have a referral program in place, which I think you must have a referral program in place to have a successful school, you only pay an advertising cost to the person who refers somebody. So unlike running an ad in the newspaper that you spend $500 for and maybe get two students at a cost of $250 per student for the ads, if five people sign up and your referral program is $50 or $50 gift card per referral, you will have given out far less money, but it will only be upon somebody actually signing up. So number three is focus on referrals, and we do that four ways. We have a VIP or referral contest, something that we do every month that people get rewarded for bringing in bulk names and addresses. Number two, we just simply ask for a list to call. Particularly when people sign up for your school, it's very prudent to ask them, do you have anybody you would like to refer to our school? We would be happy to give them a call for you. And if they sign up, we will give you this as part of our referral program. Number three is build rapport and ask parents. During in between classes or while students are out there working out, make sure you're talking with parents and simply asking them, do they have a friend or a neighbor that might be interested in martial arts training? And you can give them a VIP pass to give the person, or you could, again, ask them for the number. Now, keep in mind, if they say no, they don't want to give you a number, that's okay. Just give them a pass. And then number four is, this is something that a lot of people don't do, but I learned to do probably about 10 years ago in my school, is have an adult bring a friend class. A lot of people do bring a friend or bring a buddy for their children. I'm suggesting do a bring a buddy, bring a friend for your adult class. And depending how big your adult population is, that's probably worth one or two or three students just from that itself. Number four is I suggest evaluating your external marketing expense. And the reason I say that is virtually everybody will tell you that they do some external marketing, advertising in papers, penny savers, flyers, and actually I should not say flyers, things that cost money. You write a check to somebody else like a newspaper or a local mailer. Those are less effective during the summertime than they typically are during the regular year. And the reason for that is actually pretty obvious. If they mail out 10,000 flyers during the back-to-school season, chances are a high percentage of people are already at their home receiving their mail. But during summer, at any given point of time during the summer, a lot of families take vacation. So if we take a hypothetical number and say 25% of the families in your area are on vacation, that means you're mailing the same 10,000 letters to only 7,500 homes, which means your return will be less. So we want to try and save our money to be spent on advertising when we get the biggest bang for our buck, which is typically the back-to-school season. That being said, I'm not suggesting you do not market externally. I'm just saying you evaluate your marketing expense to make sure now is the time. And I'll give you one example. When we were doing advertising, we had Matt Hughes come in, an MMA fighter, to do a seminar, and it was during the summertime. And the college paper, which had worked very well for us when we had Matt Hughes come in earlier the year, it worked very, very well for us in February because when we advertised in the college paper, everybody was in college. When we did it over summer, when the student base is below 50%, the same ad, the same cost, gave us virtually no results. So evaluate that, and we just want to make sure that when we do that, change some of our external marketing to putting flyers out on cars, putting door hangers out, making phone calls to your dead list, to people who you had collected names and addresses from and phone numbers, and consider bulletin boards at the local Panera Bread or Starbucks or Barney's. Consider that type of external marketing, which takes a little more time but a whole lot less expense. The next thing that's very, very important is focus on retention. If getting new students is really the most important thing that you do in your school all the time, focusing on retention might be the second most important thing. You have to keep – here's the list of three things you have to do to make sure your retention is good. You have to keep classes exciting. Okay, we do that by also having guest instructors, rotating instructors, making sure you're totally on top of your game for classes, and have special summer events. You may charge for your events. Consider having one big event that's free for everybody or at a very reduced and affordable cost. Your goal should be between June, July, and August to have every student in your school participate in at least one event. If cost or times are tight and cost is an issue, do something free, whether it's a workout in the park. Not every event needs to charge people. Not every event do you need to charge people, but every person needs to be at an event between now and summer. If not, you potentially will lose students. Not because classes are bad, but because the pool is more fun, vacation is more important, time at home is better because it's not hot out. Whatever the reason is we have to get students participating in special events. We have to have things exciting happening at our school, like outside instructors or even just a guest instructor from within your school, and we need to keep classes exciting. Let me tell you the danger of number five, which is focusing on retention, is most people do not know if their classes aren't exciting. And I'll give you this example. Every one of us has probably sat around with a dozen or two dozen or gone to the Super Show and had 100 different instructors. And if you said, raise your hand if your classes are the most boring classes in the country, nobody raises their hand. But each one of us has been in somebody's school where we said, wow, that is the worst class I've ever seen in my life. Well, how do we know that it's a bad class but they don't? And the answer is like Yogi Berra used to said, we don't know what we don't know. The truth is we don't know if our classes aren't fun. We don't know if they're not exciting, but our students sure do. So take a real evaluation whether or not your classes are at the level they need to be. Number six. The sixth thing you need to really be focusing on is your upgrades. First thing is, if you do not have an upgrade program, whether you call it Black Belt Club Leadership, Blue Man Club, Pink Man Club, doesn't matter. If you don't have an upgrade program, you need to develop one now. Okay? I believe upgrades are the single most thing that set profitable schools aside from unprofitable schools and set the difference between super profitable and just regularly profitable. Upgrades, a lot of people say they don't do upgrades because they don't like them, but often that means they don't understand them. If you do not have an upgrade program in your school, people will build it in automatically. If you charge $100 a month and then somebody says, I'd like to get a private lesson once a month, they have created their own upgrade program by, on a consistent basis, paying for something different. Okay, so with that thought in mind, create an upgrade program. It has nothing to do with a private lesson. It has to do with what other value you add into the program. If you do have an upgrade program, offer summer specials, offer discounts, but enroll people now. The special we're running in our upgrade program, because we know lots of people travel during the summertime, is upgrade now and your new payment does not start till back to school, but you can take advantage of the leadership program or the Master's Club right now. So that's our special. Number seven is review cost. I've been saying this for years. If you read MA Success Magazine, about once a year I talk about reviewing your cost. This is the time right now when things are slow is to take a second to go back and look, hey, are you paying the right price for your office supplies? Is your car insurance the right price? How about your school insurance? Are your credit card interest rates at 18% or are they at 5% if you carry a balance? What about your credit card processing bill? Are you paying a credit card company 3% to process your credit card statements? Or are you paying them 5%? Or are you paying them 1%? Now is the time to evaluate all costs. And when we do that at our company, we find often thousands of dollars of savings every single year when we do that. So if times are slow, look at cutting costs responsibly. Again, I use the word responsibly because sometimes you can be a penny wise, dollar foolish, but look to see where you can have some savings. Number eight is use this time for staff development. And I say this specifically, if you do not have a summer camp, use it as a time to have a staff camp, because the truth is things are a little bit slower during the summertime, and this is a time to build your bench strength. This is a time to teach people how to do upgrades, how to be better in sales, how to be better martial artists, how to teach better classes, how to answer the phone, how to advertise, market, and everything else that goes into it. If now is a slow time, invest in your biggest and most important part of your school, and that is your staff. Okay? So invest in them by creating camps and seminars for your own people. If you do not have staff, invest in yourself. Spend some time doing some education, reading some books, going to the Super Show, logging into more Member Solutions events, anything along those lines. Use a slow time to educate yourself better. And I'll give you an example of how every company does that. Shortly after 9-1-1, Walt Disney World had scheduled to renovate their All-Star Resort in like 7 years from whenever 9-1-1 was. And when 9-1-1 happened and the hotels in the area came to a screeching halt, what they did was shut down two hotels and did the renovations now, knowing that eventually when 9-1-1 passed and that time of when everybody was scared to do anything passed, they would be prepared to open those hotels brand new. Well, same thing. Summer will pass, so use the time during summer to build yourself and your school to be better positioned for back to school, and I think education is probably the best way to do that. Number nine is if now is a slow time, a lot of people would be shocked to hear this one, take a vacation. Relax. Don't take your vacation in September when it's time to have the busiest time of year. Don't take vacation the first week in December when you're about to have your summers or your holiday sale. Take a vacation when it's slow. If it's going to be slow, that's okay. If you haven't budgeted, we have to work on budgeting as well. But now is the time to take a vacation when things are going to be a little slow, and that way you are fully prepared, ready to jump into the busy time of year, which is for most of us August and September all the way through February, because we'll have the holiday, we'll have back to school, and of course we'll have New Year's. So if now is a slow time for you, relax, enjoy, take a vacation, which also takes us through the Super Show, because then you can combine education and vacation all in one. And number 10 is go to the Martial Arts Super Show. I'm not saying that just as a plug, but I do believe by going to the Super Show, you can actually do many things on this list all at once. And heck, if the first thing on the list was create a plan and execute it, I can even help you with that at the Maya booth at the Super Show, because that often is the hardest. So before I turn this back over to Ms. Marler, who hopefully will tell us a little bit about the special that Maya is offering in conjunction with Member Solutions, because it is a great offer. I think it's $9.95, includes hotel room nights and passes to the Super Show. You can't beat it Now is the time to sign up for that. But I'm going to read you the 10 things that I would do, again, to really focus on. And number one is focus on new students and do this by creating a plan. It's the most important thing. Number two, focus on family members. They're the fastest, easiest, quickest, and least expensive new members to get in your school. Number three, focus on referrals. Okay, have a great referral program and ask other members for new members in your school. Number four, evaluate external marketing expense. Make sure if you're still advertising, your advertising dollars are actually working for you, especially when the market is a little soft right now. Number five, focus on retention. And by the way, that keys into number two. The family that kicks together does stick together. Your retention will be better the more family members you have training on any particular program. Number six, focus on upgrades. If you don't have an upgrade program, create an upgrade program. If you do have an upgrade program, upgrade people now. Number seven, review costs. Make sure if you've got some slow time in 2 hours, you can probably review every single bill you have. And just one other example, I did this a couple years ago and found out my telephone company was slamming me, and I had this internet surcharge on four of our, at that time, I think we had seven or eight schools, four of the lines at a cost of about $49 per month plus the tax. That was hundreds of dollars we were paying over and over. Review all costs. Number seven, use this time for staff development. Use this time for staff development. Number nine, relax, take a vacation, rejuvenate yourself. And number 10, something you should be doing right now is signing up for the Martial Arts Super Show. So with that, I'm going to be rejoined, I hope, by Ms. Marler and answer any questions if there are any questions.
Mr. Silverman, looks like we have a couple questions on the web already. One is from Cheryl in Dallas, Texas. And she says, thank you for all the great ideas. She's been in business for 2 years, never attended the Super Show. Wasn't sure about the expense because she's got 50 students. And just kind of wants to know if you could tell her what the benefits are for a small school like hers with just 50 students of attending.
Well, I mean, seriously, that's a great question and asked all the time. And the real easy answer to that is you would have to try very hard to go to anybody's event, but especially the Super Show, and not get one good idea. And presuming that her average student pays $100 a month, and if they pay more or less, she can do the math, but one student a month, if all she does is enroll one student, and that student stays for a year, she will have paid the whole entire cost for the Super Show and then some potentially. But that would be ridiculous to assume all she'd do is enroll one student, because one idea will work over and over and over again, and I think you can find hundreds of ideas. So I think it's great for any size school to go, but particularly smaller schools, often they receive the best value because there's a reason that a school with 50 or 75 students only has 50 or 75 students. There are certain ideas that they probably have not heard or have not implemented correctly yet, so they can receive the biggest value by learning how to do these ideas, whether they're new ideas or old ideas, and they can implement easier than big schools and see the return quickly. So a small school like that, it would not be unusual to find a great idea that enrolls 5 or 10 students in one shot. And from there, you do that 2 or 3 times a year. It is a cost up front, but it pays dividends for years.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sure.
We also have a question from Christian in West Palm Beach. Christian Lopez teaches Goju-Ryu Karate and will be teaching at a summer program for an elementary school. And wants to know what ideas that you can give him so that he can get those students into his school and enrolled.
That's a great question. The first things you can do are the most basic things. And I taught in the school system when I first opened for the longest time and never, ever passed out a flyer. So that seems very ridiculous, but I didn't. And I never knew why nobody ever came to my school. So the first thing is, one, have literature, have information, have a flyer like we distribute at Maya to help to pass out to those students in the center that he's teaching at. That being said, here's the way you really make that work, is when you go to the center and you teach. So we're at a daycare center and we have 50 kids. First, I obviously need to express you have to teach a great event and it needs to be safe so the management wants you back. But instead of just passing out a flyer, pass out a flyer that directs them to earn their white belt at an event on Saturday. So if I go in and I teach at a daycare or a school on Wednesday, I'm going to give them a flyer that says, now you've taken your first class, come earn your white belt, or whatever you want to say, come earn your patch at my school on Saturday at 10 a.m. in the morning. So now I've got these children all excited. They've done a class. They're going home, and they now have a pass that doesn't just say, here's my summer special. They have a pass that says, I can earn my white belt. And then it sounds like this. I'm going to kind of make fun and try. They run home. Mom, you can't believe it. I have a – and you know how kids, when they're really excited, they start talking like that. They're going to, Mom, I can earn my white belt. And then they give the mom the pass, and now mom knows they've got to call up and reserve that time for the children, and you get children so excited. I've never seen anybody do that better than Keith Scott, who is a Maya Lee consultant. I have seen him go to seminars at schools that people he's never met before and have 70 and 80 people come back to a school because he generates so much excitement and gives the children the path that directs them to a specific time and place.
That was an awesome impression of the excited child, by the way. I really like that.
I tried my best. I'm not very good at it, but.
You were good. That was good. That really gave a good visual for me anyway. Max up in Canada has a question for you. He says, over the last 10 to 15 years, he feels that interest from adults has waned a lot. He said he's seen this across many other karate schools in the Northeast U.S. and across Canada. Is this the case elsewhere in the U.S., and would you comment on why this is happening, if you agree with that?
I don't necessarily agree with that. First, I think now in a time when MMA is at its strongest, we might be, Max might be saying outside of XMA and not real, and meant more with the traditional martial arts. But right now, you know, obviously with the 18 to 35-year-old market, MMA is pretty strong. But outside of the MMA market, I really believe it's about how we market and who we market. For example, when I had my first school, I had lots of adult men training, and when I first brought on my first female instructor, all of a sudden I saw the shift to having lots of female adult students. Well, that's an easy example to see why that happened, but my real point is often over time we don't continue to focus on what's important and we start shifting to the children's market because we know that is usually the bigger market. But I haven't seen the overall downturn, but what I would suggest is if we see that, that we start focusing on what I perceive to be important to adults these days and a little bit back more to discipline and self-defense. And because of that, we have seen, at least in Orlando, our adult market at minimum stay the same, and I might even suggest go, you know, seen some bumps over years. Now, that being said, I would take out, you know, the very best years. I mean, the adult market's not what it was for us 4 years ago, but as a whole, you know, if you take out the very best of times and you take out the worst of times, we've continued to see our adult programs do quite well. And I think it's about where you focus your intent.
I love the point you made about that some people don't know that their classes aren't exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
If people want to make sure, you know, and check in with their students and find out how if their students feel it's exciting or not, how do you recommend they do that? What's the best way to kind of figure that out?
That's really tricky because the students don't know what they don't know either. And it's literally, I know you know this saying, you know, everybody's one step closer to black belt or they're one step closer to out the door. And the truth is students don't know that class is boring. Just one day, all of a sudden, they don't want to come anymore. And so it's a kind of a weird deal, and it's hard to ask students because, one, they probably aren't going to be very honest. If not scared for their life, scared to offend anybody. So I guess what – and I'll be honest, I'm not a particular fan of round tables. I have a business mentor of mine who used to say, get round tables with the teams and let everybody tell you. And I come a little bit from the old school, the Japanese martial arts, that we don't really ask opinions. Not suggesting that that's correct, but so that's been hard for me. What I think the very best thing to do is get somebody who you know – to be a quality instructor. Get Kathy Marler to come to your school and promise not to be offended and take genuine critique and criticism. I think that's the way to do that. Have somebody, the problem is you can't invite your best friend because they may not be a good instructor either. and get some real critique. I was at a school, and I'm not going to say where it was at, but I did a school evaluation, and the instructor in the middle of the class had a student put his head on the pole in the middle and essentially sit with his forehead on the pole, forgot him for 45 minutes. And you know what? But the instructor didn't think he had a bad class. That's just the way he was brought up. So I think the best way is to go outside and find somebody else. But if you have to ask your students, I would go the route of maybe even a question card that you can mail home that they can send in anonymous and say, what do you like about classes? And give them some you know, choices. What would you like to see more of? What would you like to see this? And ask people to mail it back so they don't feel threatened.
There is one more on the web, if you don't mind. I didn't see that
problem.
One come in. Okay, it's from Christian Lopez again. It says he has problems registering students during the summer. His registration fee is $100 during the summer. Should I lower it during the summer?
Is there a way to get a quick response to ask, is registration his monthly fee? What's the cost generally before I answer that? And the real answer to that is I don't know. There's no way for me to tell you just by saying your registration is down. Everybody's registration is down during the summer. But the question is are a lot of people coming in to the school and then he's not signing them up, or is he not getting a lot of people in the school at all? So the first question we need to establish is the phone ringing? Are the people coming from the phone call into the school, and then are they signing up? And once we find out which part of that is the problem, then we adjust that. But at face value, assuming that the challenge is they're coming to the school and they're just not registering when they hear about the $100, we have to do one of two things. We have to inject more value into the $100 and make sure we educate and get everybody to understand the value of that $100, or we can consider doing a special where it's $49, which I don't like that. I think $100 is too inexpensive for schools. I will tell you something we're trying right now. And we don't do anything in the Maya kits that are purely trial. We only do things that are tested. So being that gas prices are going to be around for a while, we'll be able to report whether this is a good idea or not. But we're running a special $99 for 2 months during the summer, and includes a $49 or a $50 gas card to see if people come on in to collect their gas card. And that comes, of course, the $99 for the summer does come with an ongoing commitment after that. And then we're even going to tweak that and do something $99 for 1 month with the gas card with no commitment. So we're just getting ready to start that now to see how big of a deal this gas problem really is to people, or they're just not coming to the school.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And, you know, it's in my area, I've been hearing people joke around about, yeah, I'm going on staycation this year, you know.
Exactly.
So I have a feeling you're going to get a lot of nibbles on that offer, that's for sure.
So let me just answer his question point blank. Before I just say reduce your $99 or your $100 fee, what I'd like to see somebody do is inject more value in for the $100, give a uniform, give a private lesson, give an upgrade package, give weapons if that's in your program, or seminars or whatever it is, and become better at sales to get those people to commit. In the event that that's not the issue, you surely can lower the price, but lower it relative to a timeline, meaning, okay, instead of $100 for a month, maybe do $49 for 2 weeks unlimited. So you're really charging the same amount, but you're getting people over the trial hump.
That sounds great.
All right.
And I think that is all the questions that we have online. Last call on the phones. Anybody?
All right.
There's a shy bunch on the phone.
No problem. Well, like I said, if anybody does contact you, I'm happy to get back with them at a later time.
All right. That sounds great. And thank you so much for taking your time to be with us today, Mr. Silverman. And I guess I'll see you in Orlando pretty soon.
Sounds great. See you in about a month.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.